Hello, everyone. This is Rajiv Eskana for immigration.com, Law Offices of Rajiv Eskana, PC. Today is June 21st, 2012. This is a community conference call, which we host every other Thursday to answer the questions from community. Call is being recorded. If you do not wish your identity to be revealed, you may want to stay silent or to conceal your identity when you ask a question. This call will be made publicly available. By participating in this call, you do not become our clients, nor do we become your lawyers. That said, today I have only four questions to address. One of the questions is very, very long. Normally, I expect people to keep their questions short, but as luck would have it, today we have plenty of time. And I do want to cover the reason I want to cover all those questions is really because the questions asked in that particular posting from Muthu are actually questions that a lot of people ask us, okay? So I'll jump right in. Let me start with the first question, which is more, I think, really an objection than a real question. Why is EB-3 visa number, or why EB-3 visa numbers are moving so slowly? Any reason behind this? Any internal news? Well, there really is no internal news. The problem with EB-3 is they are oversubscribed. There are too many applicants, not enough visas. And I do not see any hope of any major improvement anytime soon. As to any chance of any reason behind this, I already said that any internal news, no. So the way it is, Mahesh, is unless Congress steps in and does something with the visas and new laws are announced, we are going to have the same problem. The issue here is every country in the world, whether it's a country like Vatican City with a population of 600 or a country like India with a population of 1 billion plus, we all have the same number of green cards allocated. So naturally, countries like India have a huge backlog. So not much I can say about that. Next question is George Annie. He wants to talk, or he wants to know about I-140 MTR. Basically, what has happened is I-140 and MTR have both been denied due to employers' inability to pay. My employer had submitted tax and audit papers a week after filing MTR. Is it possible that USCIS denied because they received the papers? It is possible. Okay. Do you think refiling with a new lawyer with the same documents will have a better chance? It's not the lawyer. I mean, of course, if the lawyers are all competent, assuming that lawyers are competent and they have paid enough attention to the case, I don't think lawyers will make a big difference. I don't see any rocket science here. A couple of things I would say. If you are, there is a case from, I want to say the Seventh Circuit, the circuit that deals with Indiana, Illinois. From the Seventh Circuit, the laws may be different. We might be able to push an I-140 ability to pay wages. The reason I say that, let me explain to you what I'm thinking. USCIS consistently relies only upon tax returns to determine whether an employer has the ability to pay wages or not. And I want to say Seventh Circuit. I'm pretty sure it's Seventh Circuit. The Seventh Circuit of Court of Appeals has actually made a ruling which said, no, that's a very artificial criterion. You should look at the company's cash flow and the company's overall financial health. So if you are in Indiana, Illinois, the Seventh Circuit jurisdiction, you have a better chance of winning this issue. Okay? As to what you should say, I don't really know why your case was denied. If indeed ability to pay wages can be overcome, that issue can be overcome, you can always refile the I-140. Even after the denial of the MTR, you can still refile it. Okay? So hard for me to comment whether you should be getting another lawyer or not. I certainly think a second opinion will not hurt you. Okay. Next question is the one that I want to take last because there's a lot of sub-questions and it's going to take me a good 5-10 minutes to go over that. So second last question I'll take in a few minutes. Rahul Gopal Joshi says, His situation is he's filed for an H-1 transfer. So his question is, my H-1 is still good, my wife's H-4 is still good. Can she convert from H-4 to F-1 while my H-1 transfer is still pending? And the answer is yes, she can. I don't see any problem. And I don't see any gray areas. Go for it. The only time you could have a problem is if the transfer is denied and you fall out of status. But by that time, your wife would have already applied for F-1, so she's protected even there. Okay? Now let me come to the big boy of all these questions. These are, I mean, like I said, normally I would not answer a question this long because it's like focusing my entire attention on one person. But today we have time. And these are questions that are important to the community as a whole, in my opinion. So he wants to know about, Muthu wants to know about AP, EAD, H-1B, etc. He's on the 12th year of his H-1B. EB-3 485 was filed in September 2007. Question number one. If I do H-1 transfer to a new employer, must my current employer revoke the I-140? No. It is not required by law to revoke the I-140, but they may have to because they have to prove ability to pay wages for all their green cards. Okay? So they are not required by law. H-1 they are required to revoke, but I-140 they are not required to revoke. But they may want to. And if they do revoke, then you cannot get H-1B extensions. Number two, is it possible for me to just do H-1 transfer to a new employer and retain my green card with this intention that I'll come back and work for them? The answer is yes. Yes. But you have to have a reason why you are leaving this employer and joining a new one. USCIS can question, if you indeed had the intention to work permanently for this employer, why did you leave them? What is the reason? Okay, so I can give you one example where we were successful. In that case, similar situation had happened, and we were able to show the government that the old company was specializing in only one ERP package, which was JD Edwards. I still remember the facts of this case. And this gentleman who was our client and the company was our client as well, wanted more exposure in other ERP packages, Oracle Financials, SAP, PeopleSoft. So he went and he got exposure and he intended to join back because he wanted to expand his professional knowledge. Don't make up an excuse if it is indeed true. Let the government know why you left this employer with whom you are supposed to work full time on a permanent basis. Okay, in this case, do I need to file AC-21 for this job change or not? I don't think so because you are going to go back to the old employer. So no, in my opinion, you do not need to file AC-21. Third question, H-1 is good till 2012. If I switch to EAD, can I switch back to H-1B? Yes, you will have to go outside the country and re-enter with a visa, new visa. You cannot do it within USA. Four, can H-1B extensions, are H-1B extensions allowed while I'm on EAD? Yes. So let's say you have an H-1, you convert it to EAD, H-1 is still valid, but now it has gone to sleep since you started using your EAD. 3 months later, you file for an H-1 extension. You will get the extension, but you won't get a new I-94. So the idea here is you can extend H-1 even though you are on EAD. Number five, for AP renewal, can I come back to USA on any visa to renew my AP? No. AP itself is a substitute for visa. You can come back on advanced parole. You shouldn't come back on any other visa. Make sure you re-enter USA before your advanced parole expires. Otherwise, your 485 is deemed to be abandoned. Six, in order for me to get the green card, my employer should never revoke my I-140, or if it is revoked, then I must join a new employer when my PD is current. No, the way it works is you can retain your green card based upon two ideas. One idea is that I will join this employer back again. Okay? And that idea does not require any AC21 intervention. So one idea is, I will go back and join this employer. That way I can retain my green card process. And the other idea is, I don't intend to join this guy again. But my I-140 is approved, my 45 has been pending 180 days, and I have got a same or similar job anywhere in USA with another employer. That's AC21. You keep your green card that way also. Last question. Do I still fall under quota if I were USA for 1 year and want to apply for a new H-1B? Yes, you will. Okay? But here is the interesting situation. The reason I don't know an exact answer to your situation. There is something called remainder option. And from what I recall, I worked out the details one day in my own head. The way I saw it work is this. Remainder option says, let's say somebody is in USA for 4 years. Then they leave USA for 1 year and 1 day. The moment they are outside USA for 1 year or 1 year and 1 day, they are now entitled to 6 years of H-1. But they become subject to the quota. Instead, they can choose to take only what remains of the earlier approval, which is 1 year and 364 days, and say, you know what, just give me H-1 for 1 year and 364 days, and I will not be subject to the quota. So under the remainder rule, if you take whatever time you did not use out of the H-1 that you had, you should not be subject to the quota. The question is, what do we do with a person like you? I mean, technically, there's nothing remaining on your H-1. But at the same time, you have a choice. You can get H-1 now for all the way back to 6 years, or you can say, give me just 1 year. That's what is my remainder. I think that's the argument I would make. You see my point? So that's the way it works as far as I can tell, but I'm also quite sure there's no law on this issue. Okay, guys, I will open. I'm not sure there are. Let me just open the conference console, see if anybody has any questions. Oh, I got logged out. Give me 1 second. I'll be right with you. In the meantime, if anybody has any question, just press 5-star on your phone, please. 5-star on your phone. 5-star. Okay, one question. Well, that's easy enough to answer. 2 questions. All right, anybody else? All righty. Let me start with the person who logged in first. Area code 408. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Rajiv. My name is Aarti.
Aarti ji, you sent me an email, right?
Yes, yes. So should we talk on this or should we talk later?
We can talk. I know your case. I know what you asked me. The problem is this. There is really no way for us to expedite the H-1 of your husband who's stuck in India. Okay? What you can do is, you can try doing this. You can try calling the local congressman's office. Okay, try calling the local congressman's office. Do you know how to do that?
No.
Okay, go to immigration.com and just type the word congressman in the search. Okay, it will bring you to some links that tells you how to contact your congressman.
Okay, okay.
And the idea is, it will be a link to congress.gov where you go and enter your zip code. Every state has 2 kinds of congressmen, senators and members of the House of Representatives.
Okay?
And they are both congressmen. Like in India, we say parliamentarian or member of parliament, and in parliament there are 2 houses. Upper house, Rajya Sabha, or lower house, Lok Sabha. Similarly, in USA, parliament is called Congress, and you can have upper house, which is Senate, and the lower house, which is the House of Representatives. Are you clear on that?
Yes.
You can contact either one.
Okay?
When you enter your zip code, you'll find out who they are. So you'll find out their phone number, and you pick up the phone and call. And you say, I have an immigration problem. I am someone who lives in your area. Please tell me who should I talk to in your office.
Okay? Okay.
They will say, okay, we are transferring you to Mr. John Smith, who is the guy who deals with all the immigration problems. Every congressman has at least one staffer, if not more, who is devoted almost full time to solving immigration problems.
Okay.
You tell them, I have a unique situation. I'm not going to say your situation in front of everybody on the, because this is a public call. So, and you know it, I know it. So you just tell them your unique situation.
Okay. Right.
And tell them I want them to expedite my husband's case or at least give him some other kind of visa so he can come and be here with me.
Mm-hmm.
See what they can do. You have my email address. If you have any follow-up questions, you drop me an email.
Sure.
And every time you send me an email, make sure you put your phone number in there.
Sure, sir. Sounds good.
And I will do my best to help you as best as I can. Don't worry. Okay?
Yes.
You can also do this. No, do it yourself. I was going to say have your husband's employer call the congressman. I think you should do it yourself. Because you have a very sympathetic case. Your husband's employer may not be able to make such a case, right?
Right.
So anything else I can help you with?
Sure, sir. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck. Okay. Now the last question of the day, area code 610. Go ahead, please.
Hi, sir. My name is Hina Lindu. I have a question regarding my – I have two questions. One is regarding my H1 and the other one is regarding the 485.
Go ahead.
So my first question is I applied for H1 in 2008, but I could not find any job. So I was on bench for 5 months, and then I went back to India, and I came on H4.
Good.
And now I am applying for 485. So okay. Do I need to mention that time period in the biographic form?
If the 485 has a question, if the 485 has a question, have you ever been out of status, you should answer yes. Okay? But here's the good news.
Okay.
Because of Section 245K, as in kite, because of Section 245K,
mm-hmm.
you have absolutely nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Okay? So once again, if the 485 has a question like that, I don't remember what 485 asks, but if it has a question like that, you must answer yes. And just
okay.
answering yes, you're going to have no problem.
Okay. Yeah, in the 485, like they have a section where they ask for 5 years employment history.
You have to give history, and if you were not really employed, you can attach an explanation. That's what I would do. If I were your lawyer,
okay,
I would give that
okay.
employment, and I would attach an explanation saying that I had an H-1, but they didn't give me a job; they just put me on bench.
Okay. And I went to India back, and I came back on
H4. That is what helps you, because you went to India and you came back on H4. So all
yeah.
those problems don't affect you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. All right. Yeah. I am fine.
Good
okay.
luck.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right, folks. That was it for today. This conference call was the shortest in the history of mankind, but I'm glad I was able to talk to you, and thank you for being here. Bye-bye.